God is good all the time. In the Hebrew or the Chaldean language, when something is said three times in succession, it means in the superlative degree. I believe that God is holy in the superlative degree, and I believe that God is good in the superlative degree. You may have noticed I moved the podium a little bit back, and by the time I finish tonight, you're liable to say, move it a little further back. They said they wanted me to use the microphone because they some that, you know, because they had some hearing problems and challenge. I said, they'll hear me. My voice carries quite a bit. I was preaching in a meeting a while back, and this guy came out, and he said, Brother DeMar, he said, I enjoyed that message. He was an old-timer, and I said, well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. He said, Brother DeMar, he said, I can't hear. He said, I hadn't heard a sermon in years. He said, but I heard every word you said. I said, thank you, brother. That's great. Listen, if you have your Bibles, let's get right underway here. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Now, this is what every Christian should know, the theme that is here. I believe that every Christian should know that we need to be unashamed and standing boldly in our place. We need to be unashamed, standing boldly in our place. Paul told Timothy that we were not to have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul urged Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, and he says, nor of me, his prisoner. Boldness is needed by every single Christian. Boldness is needed if we are to stand in our place. And in our world today, we need to be unashamed of the name we wear, the name Christian. We need to be unashamed of the name Church of Christ. But someone says, DeMar, how can we be bold and how can we stand in our place today? Boldness comes when we're not ashamed of who we are. Boldness comes when we have a huge faith. Faith is mentioned about four times in the book of Matthew. Four times Jesus said, O you of little faith. Matthew 6, Matthew 8, Matthew 14, and Matthew 16. We need to launch out in faith today. And in order to do that, every Christian must stand in their place. Every Christian must realize that we're not to have a spirit of fear, but we are to have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. In Mark the 9th chapter, verse 24, immediately the father cried out, the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Maybe there's some here tonight that need to cry out, oh God, help my unbelief. Many of us believe that we have strong faith. If I were to ask tonight, do you have a strong faith? Just raise your hand. Probably most, if not every hand here, would go up. But I believe that sometimes Satan has done a job on us. We sometimes think we have a strong faith. And yet if Jesus were standing here tonight, I wonder how many he would say to us, how many of us he might say, oh, you of little faith. We need a huge faith. We need a big faith like Abraham's faith. In Romans 4 and verse 20, he said he did not waver in his promise that God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Why should we be unashamed? If we have faith in God, if we have faith that God is in control of everything, why should we be ashamed? Why should we not be bold knowing that God is in control? Do we believe Romans 8, 28? He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Paul said, what shall we say then? He said to these things, if God be for us, then who can be against us? How can men be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ when we know that we have God on our side? Again, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1, verse 16. You see, the gospel is God's power to salvation. How can any man, woman, boy, or girl be ashamed of the gospel, knowing that it is the power of God? God makes men fearless. Men and women in the church do not always start out fearless. We do not always start out bold in our service to God. Peter, he portrayed cowardice a number of times in his life. In Matthew 14 at verse 30, you remember there was a storm at sea and the disciples were there and Jesus comes walking to the disciples on the water. Peter sees the Lord and he asks the Lord, Lord, may I come to you? And Jesus said, come. And you remember Peter stepped out of the boat. The waves were raging, the tempest, the winds were howling and blowing, and the waves were boisterous. And Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. Peter became frightened and afraid, and he began to sink. And the Bible says, Jesus reached out and took him by the hand and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So we look at the Apostle Peter and we see that he was a man who had doubt in his life. You remember another occasion in Peter's life. Jesus has been arrested. He's being tried and he's inside and Peter is out in the courtyard. Peter has followed Jesus afar off. And Jesus is inside and they're taking our Lord and Savior and they're slapping him in the face and they're spitting in his face. There was a little maiden there, a little girl there, a servant girl, and she said, you're one of them. You was with Jesus. He said, I know not this man. A little while later, he goes through over here and goes through the gate there, and another little servant girl looks at him and says, you are one of them. You was with Jesus. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man. And then a little while later, they came up to him and said, surely you were with Jesus because your speech betrayeth you. And the Bible says he began to curse and to swear, I know not this man. And the rooster crowed. Peter was afraid. Peter's faith was lacking. Peter, at this stage in his life, did not have the boldness that he needed. There was another occasion, you remember the Apostle Paul withstood Peter to the face because of this. Over in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Peter's out here eating with the Gentiles. Some Jews come up, those of the circumcision, they come up and Peter withdraws himself from the Gentiles and goes over to the Jews. Why did he do that? Peter was afraid of those of the circumcision, what they might do to him. Peter at that point in his life was not bold. Peter demonstrates fear and cowardice. And we look at the life of the Apostle Paul. And Paul was an individual who at first in his life he had fearful tendencies. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3. And he says here, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. This is the Apostle Paul. I was with you in fear. He says in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. But the Apostle Paul is going to change in the process of time. His faith is going to grow stronger. Peter's faith is going to grow stronger. What am I saying here tonight? Our faith needs to be growing. Our faith needs to be increasing. And as we get older in Christ and as we serve the Lord more, we need to become bolder and bolder. Why? Because our faith is growing. Our faith becomes stronger and stronger. Paul asked the Ephesians to pray for him, and I want you to listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, he says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is asking the Ephesians, he's saying, pray for me. Pray for me that I may be bold. Pray for me that I may speak boldly concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet I want to say tonight to you that men do not always start out being strong. As Paul exhorted the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16:13, he said, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave. Be strong. Paul exhorted the Ephesians in Ephesians 6:10. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, Robert, I never dreamed that in my lifetime I would hear a so-called, and watch this, so-called gospel preacher who would be ashamed of the name Church of Christ. I want to ask you tonight, are you ashamed of the name you wear? The name Christian? You say, oh, I'm not ashamed of the name. But are you bold with that name? Do you find yourself saying, oh, I will not do that because I am a Christian? See, we need to have boldness about it. We need to know who we are. We need to know what we are. We need to know what we're about. And we need to be unashamed. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. The name Christian is a God-given name. It was prophesied over in the book of Isaiah that God would call His people by another name. It would be a name that the mouth of the Lord should name. And we come over to the New Testament, we find that, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Some of our young people today, I spoke to a youth group just recently, and I said to them, I said, young people, don't you ever be ashamed of the name you wear, the name Christian. We should never be ashamed of the name Church of Christ. And yet we see today in some places they're changing the name Church of Christ. They're wanting to remove the name and put up some other name. You know, I can just imagine in judgment, some of these that are doing that standing there, and Jesus says to them in judgment, I would like to know why you changed the name of the church. Why did you change the name of my church? Well, something, the conversation may go like this. Well, Lord, we couldn't grow a church with your name on it. And I don't like that term, grow a church. That's a term that I don't like. But Lord, some of these use that term. They say, Lord, we couldn't grow a church with your name on it. Lord, people wouldn't come. They wouldn't come to the building if your name was on it. And so, Lord, we had to compromise. We wanted to fill the building up, and we felt that the means justified the means. I'll get out in a minute. Lord, we thought about it, and we thought you'd be happy and you'd be pleased if we filled the building with people. They're going to be so surprised in judgment to learn what they should have already learned, and that is that Jesus is not just looking for numbers. Jesus has always looked for quality disciples. When we go out in the mission fields of the world, as I do, and go all over the world preaching the gospel of Christ, we don't go out there just to baptize people. We go out there to convert people to Jesus Christ. That's the challenge. We need to be bold in who we are. We need to be bold about the name. Never be ashamed of the name on this building that says the Tanner Church of Christ. Why? Because the church belongs to Jesus. If I had a church, I'd probably name it the Church of Elam. But I don't have a church. And Christ has a church, and it's called the Church of Christ. Romans 16, 16 still reads, "The churches of Christ salute you or greet you," depending on which translation you're using. The men of God and women of God today, we must develop boldness. We don't ever need to be in a conversation and be ashamed to say, and they say, "Where do you go to church?" Say, "Well, I go up here to the somewhat embarrassed to say Church of Christ." We need to boldly say, "I'm a member of the Church of Christ." Why? Jesus is the Savior of that church. He is the head of that church. And it is named after Him. It is in that church that Jesus is taking the saved and placing them into that body. The Church of Christ is the body of Christ. They are one and the same. So we need to develop boldness. The council took notice of Peter and John, their boldness in Acts 4 in verse 13. Peter later confessed Peter moved from a point of indecision. Peter moved from a point of not having the strong belief that he needed to a point of being willing to give his very life for Christ. Paul confessed his confidence in the face of trials. Paul had chains and tribulations facing him, and here's what he said: "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, that the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of grace, of the grace of God." Acts 20, verse 24. Could you get me some water, Robert? I appreciate it. In Acts 21 and verse 13, Paul said, "What do you mean, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." I tell you, Paul was not ashamed. Paul started out in weakness, in fear, and in trembling. But we see Paul later in his life with all boldness. Paul was not ashamed. Paul was willing not only to be bound, but he was willing to go to Jerusalem and to die at Jerusalem for Jesus. Jesus became everything to Paul and to Peter. And I know tonight I'm speaking to some of God's best. It's Wednesday night. You see, this man's been specially trained to do this. Thank you, brother. As I was mentioning, Paul was not ashamed of God. He was not ashamed of the gospel he declared. And yet we need to realize this growth process. I know I was saying that I'm speaking to some of God's best, and I know that tonight. You see, there's some that were here Sunday morning, and they're not here tonight. You want to know why? You really want to know why? I'll tell you why. They're lacking in faith. You say, "Oh, Brother DeMar, you're going to offend somebody." Now, there's probably some not here tonight because of health. I'm not talking about that. There's probably some here tonight. Something happened today, some kind of emergency. They're not here tonight. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that man and woman that week after week after week, they don't come back on Sunday night. They don't come back on Wednesday night. And the reason is their faith is not developed. Their faith is not fully developed. If you were to ask them, do you have a strong faith? Oh, yeah, brother. I've got a strong faith. Amen. I've got a strong faith. But the reason they're not here tonight is because their faith is, Jesus probably would say to them, based on these scriptures we're looking at, oh, you of little faith. God bless you for being here tonight. It's an indication of your faith. I sometimes say that I might as well give a mission report on Wednesday night. And sometimes they'll say, well, why? I said, well, the Sunday night crowd and the Wednesday night crowd, that's your mission-minded crowd right there. The crowds on Sunday morning are not always mission-minded. They don't take seriously the preaching of the gospel throughout the world. The early Christians were not ashamed about Christ and about His church. Therefore, the statement was made concerning them, they turned the world upside down for Christ. Tanner, that's what you need to do. If nobody else in our brotherhood does a single thing, the Tanner Church of Christ needs to turn the world upside down for Christ. You can do it. It's a matter of love. It's a matter of zeal. It's a matter of commitment. It's a matter of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 17, verse 6, but they did not find them. They dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. This man, Paul, is not ashamed of Christ. He is not ashamed of the message of reconciliation that he's preaching. When I go into the foreign countries, I tell them, I have a message of reconciliation. You can be reconciled to God through Christ. And we are not ashamed of that message of reconciliation. He tells the Corinthians, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Brothers and sisters, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. If we have a great, strong faith, we know a payday is coming. God will reward those who have a strong, powerful, abiding faith. God will reward those who are unashamed. Why was the word being spread in the first century so quickly as it was? It was because of their faith. It was because they were unashamed. It was because they became bold. Paul, time and again, prayed for boldness. How many of us pray for boldness today? Facing persecution, trials, possible death, Paul and Barnabas just gave up. When they faced these things, they just quit. They just gave up and they just went back home. No, 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 not at all. The Bible says that, therefore, my beloved brethren, he's saying, be steadfast. They were steadfast. They were immovable. They continued to abound in the work of the Lord. They shook off the dust from their feet against those that they were preaching to, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. They went back to Iconium and continued preaching and teaching. They did not give up. In the face of tribulation, in the face of maybe even death facing them, they would not quit. Paul and Barnabas were brave. They were courageous. They were fearless. And they were not ashamed of this blood-bought institution, the Church of Christ. I just shudder when I see people that seem to be ashamed of that name. It is in that name that we have redemption. It is in Christ that we're saved. Dare we be ashamed of the name Church of Christ or the name Christian? If we are to turn the world upside down And I know I'm speaking to some that would love to do that and want to do that. Every Christian must be unashamed, and every Christian must stand in their place. The doors of opportunity to worldwide evangelism are standing wide open before us today. We have an opportunity to evangelize and reach souls for Christ as never before. Not here in America, things are not going so well here evangelistically, but the Lord's church is growing in mighty numbers in foreign countries like India and the Philippines and Russia and other places that I can name, some of these third world countries. We need members standing in their place. The challenge today is for leadership. The challenge today is for personal commitment. We need individuals today that are bold in their service. Every servant of Jesus Christ today needs to stand in his or her place. Where are the spiritual giants of our day? We need some individuals like Isaiah. Isaiah said, "Hear my Lord, send me." Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Where are the Isaiahs of our day who will say, "Hear my Lord, send me"? We need some men like David who will say, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. Where are the individuals today who will stand, as it were, with a sling and five smooth stones and go against the giants of our day, the giants of secularism, materialism, atheism, modernism, and humanism? Those are our giants. Those are the things we have to face today. You know, Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. That's a big man. 9 feet, 9 inches tall. And no doubt when he looked down at David, the little shepherd boy, David probably looked like a little sawed-off nothing. And you know, David went out, the Bible says that David went out, somebody says, yeah, he went out with a sling and five smooth stones. That he did. But if you'll look at the text, it says, with the arm of the Lord. And I'm telling you tonight, it was the arm of the Lord that made the difference. We need to go out today like David did, with the arm of the Lord. King Saul tried to dissuade David from going. He tried to discourage him. He said, "Thou cannot go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." 1 Samuel 17, verse 33. But David says to Saul, he said, "I slew a lion, and I slew a bear, and I will slay this uncircumcised Philistine." David said, moreover, I love this statement in 1 Samuel 17, 26. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" In other words, who does he think he is? See, David didn't go out thinking, "Hey, I'm David, I'm going to handle it." David went out with God. David went out with the arm of Jehovah. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. You recall the story. Goliath was insulted that they would send out a little boy to fight with him. He was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He was a man of war. I want you to imagine the battle. Goliath says, "Come on, boy. Come on, son, you're going to die today. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Come on, son, come on, you're going to die." And I can just see little David. He goes out there and he's got a sling in his hand. He moves over here and he looks. He says, "No, no." He moves over here. "No, no." He moves over here and Goliath is probably thinking, look at this little kid jumping around. And all of a sudden, David locked in. And you know the song, we sing it to the children. One little stone went into the sling. The sling went round and round. One little stone went up, up, up. And the giant came tumbling down. Somebody said, boy, that David was accurate. No, the arm of Jehovah was accurate. God was with David. And when we can come to understand that, we're going to be better off today. Go out and do our battles against the giants of our day with the arm of Jehovah. Where are the Nehemiahs who will say to the people, come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we no longer be a reproach? Because Nehemiah said that, he was later able to say, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, because the people had a mind to work. We need some Nehemiahs in the church. We need some Nehemiahs who will say, come, let us rise up and let us build. Where are the Benaiites who can slay a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow? When I read my Bible, I realize there's nothing in there accidentally. So we have to say, what is this story about Benaiah killing a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow? What's the big deal? Well, it's a feat to slay a lion anytime. It's a double feat to slay a lion in the midst of a pit. Henry, where are you going to run? Benaiah slew a lion in the midst of a pit, and it's in the time of snow. How are you going to keep your footing? Somebody said, Brother Demar, what does that story mean? Here's what it means. God had a man called Benaiah who performed triple feet. We need Christians today in the church that will perform triple feats for God. We need brothers and sisters who can slay a lion in the midst of a pit, in the time of snow. Where are the Samuels? I can't believe it. The clock always does that to me. Where are the Samuels who will say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Just think how powerful the church would be today if every Christian, every woman, man, boy, and girl would say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Heareth. What a better world we would have if everyone would say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Where are the Gideons of our day? I think I've got 5 minutes from that bell. Who will take a little band of 300 and go out against an army of 135,000. Now, I'm going to have to really fly to tell this story. I'm not going to really complete it like I wanted to preach it. But let me tell you. God says Gideon had 32,000. God said, that's too many. Can't you imagine? Gideon says, say what? Yeah, you got too many. You see, God wanted Israel to know that it wasn't them that won the battle. God knows man. God knew that if Israel went out, won the battle with 32,000, they'd think they did it. God said, we got to reduce the numbers. So you remember the story. God said, all that are fearful, let them go back home. Well, 22,000 went back home. Did you know, Robert, when I was a Chickasaw boy down Mobile area, when we came up, we was little, we used to say, you chicken, you a chicken. There were 22,000 chickens in that army, and they went home. That left 10,000, and we're going to wind up with 300. And we find out there were 9,700 just tagging along. No real commitment. Jesus uses the water test. God uses the water test. Wonderful test. Common day, everyday things show what men are made of. They went down to the water. He said, take them down to the water to drink. There were 300 that did this. They went down to the water. Look, they did this. They did this. And they were off and ready. They lapped like dogs, and they were gone. Then there were 9,700 that bent down on their knees, drank from the water, sat there picnicking, sat there by the water relaxing, and it was indication they were not serious about what they were about to do. The 300 knew they were at war. We got members of the church that do not understand we are at war with the devil. Somebody says in the church, I say, we're in a struggle for the souls of men. We are soldiers of Christ. We're at war. Somebody says, war? Brother Elam, war? Yes, we are at war. The devil is our enemy. And folks, we, as one military man said, a general during World War II, of the Japanese that continued fighting, continued firing on our forces, they radioed back to him. They said, we're still being fired upon by the Japanese. The war was over. He said, the Japanese are still firing on us. And here's what this commanding general told him. He said, son, he said, take it to them. Take it to them. That's what we need to do to the devil. We need to take it to him. Well, Gideon gets his 300 men. And then they're 300. They're going up against 135,000. I want you to get a picture of this. The Midianites are camped in a valley. The 300 men have a trumpet. They have a pitcher and a light. And Gideon stations them around. The Midianites are down in the valley. He stations around the ridge. And at the given time, they acted in unity. If I had time to develop all this, they did this in unity. And that's what we need in the church today. If we're to conquer the devil, we need to be united. Every man, every woman standing in their place. And when the sound came, they blew their trumpet. They broke their pitchers. They raised their lights. And they shouted the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. All right, now watch. These Midianites are down around the campfires telling scary stories. You ever done that at camp? God, the Bible says God put a fear of the Israelites in their mind. I can just see them telling these scary stories around the campfire, and if you said, boo, they would have jumped out of their skin. But they're telling these scary stories, and God's put a fear of the Israelites in their mind, and here's what happened. They're all stationed just right. Every man is standing in his place. Every man knew the battle. He acted and act as though the battle depended on him. And listen, the trumpet sounds, the pitchers break, the lights are lifted, and a shout, a loud shout, comes across, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Do you know what the Bible says? The Midianites, it scared them to death. They got so rattled they began to turn the sword on themselves in the darkness. And they began to flee. They're running away. Get this picture. Here's 135,000 soldiers running for their lives. Here's 300 men back here chasing them. What would have happened if the Midianites had stopped long enough just to look back? But they didn't look back. They were running for their lives. And I want to end this thought, and then I'll talk to you more after the break, with this idea. In Judges chapter 7, you read about all this, and then Judges chapter 8, it said Gideon and his band approached the Jordan, they crossed the Jordan River, it says, faint. One translation says, exhausted, yet pursuing him. Robert, I love that. 135 men are fleeing for the life. 300 men, they're pursuing, they're faint. But they continue to pursue the enemy. Listen, brothers and sisters, we may get tired, we may get weary, but let us not faint. Let us pursue the enemy. That's the second bell, and I'll finish what I've got to say in way of invitation.